Well, here it is, my first podcast. The path that led me to this microphone is one that I never intended, but it has taught me so much. Those lessons are what this podcast is about. See, I'm the founder and CEO of a direct sales beauty brand called Lime Life by Alcone. Before that, I was primarily a stay-at-home mother and a high school science teacher. It may seem unlikely that I became the CEO of any company, but the really incredible story is that this company achieved over $100 million in annual sales within its first 4 years of existence. This podcast is about the process we use to develop the individual and collective mindset to generate that success. The best way to describe this process is to relate it to cleaning out a space. If we think of our mindset as a room, I've learned that most women's mindset rooms are a bit of a mess. They're filled with amazing elements like gratitude, creativity, joy, humor, determination, and grit that can lead to exceptional results and relationships. But there are also other elements like fear of judgment and failure, insecurities, lack of trust in people, that cloud our greatness and hold us back. When we're ready to significantly change our life, we cannot just rearrange the room. We need to pull everything out, every notion, every thought, every belief, and ask ourselves whether or not it should be saved or discarded. The most powerful elements of our character need space to grow so that possibilities for our future can continuously expand. Over this first season, we're going to focus on the topic of finance. When it comes to the topic of money, most females' mindsets need a lot of unpacking. A study done by Fidelity Investments found that 8 in 10 women refrain from discussing money with family and friends because the subject is quote-unquote too personal or uncomfortable. In other words, our financial mindset rooms are often locked or cluttered. So why does this matter? Well, here's the biggest breakthrough I discovered between women in my sales field who are successful and those who spend years struggling. There is a strong connection between emotions around money and confidence. You have to elevate both to see bigger results. On this first episode, I want us to start to look at this connection. So I sat down with a few of the women I've known for years and asked how their upbringing generated their thoughts about finances and whether or not those thoughts were affecting their success and relationships. Many of them came into the conversation with carefully formulated answers, but after some time, we were able to get deeper into their financial mindset and unearth some pretty interesting things. Here are parts of that discussion, starting with Mary Kay.
Early on, my first memories of money was my mom thinking we had none, and it was always a source of an argument. So my dad's thought process was God will provide and we have enough money and, you know, we're going to be fine. But my mom never thought that. So for me, money was a source of an argument between my parents. So because growing up, I just spent it. I didn't want to have it because if I had it, then that there was a fear that that was going to create, you know, bad relationships in my life, really. So for me, it's like as soon as the money came in, I had to spend it.
So you're a single mom.
Yeah.
You really have to unpack that concept of spending it as soon as it comes in.
Yeah.
Because now savings is a big part of
yes.
your life and investing and really caring for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, have you completely unpacked that or do you catch yourself?
No, I've not completely unpacked that. To me, debt is like a warm blanket, which is something I'm still, you know, and I'm a multiple six-figure earner. I should not have any debt.
Right.
And I'm still trying to unpack that, yeah.
But when you say I'm still working towards that, do you think that there's a hint of avoidance in that?
1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
1,000%. Again, it's this old stuff that I'm hanging on to. So when my mom would always be so fearful of having no money, I think I kind of somehow like the feeling of having no money.
Mm.
Do you think that feels maternal to you? That concept of no money, no money, no money, like that's maternal?
Never thought of that, but yeah, that rings true for me.
And what about when you, because you have met with financial advisors, what was your feeling after meeting with them and actually having a plan?
Well, I don't think that I've ever been honest 100% about my financial picture with anyone. I think there's an imposter syndrome for me around money.
So you're sitting there in the meeting with financial advisor and that person wants you to lay it all out on the table.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the great, right? Mm-hmm. And you're holding back and you know in your mind you're holding back.
I'm holding back and I'm making them think, I got it. I'm good.
So when you left that meeting, did you feel empowered or did you feel like I got away with it?
I got away with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They don't need to know. It's not a big deal. I'm going to get rid of that debt soon enough.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is I could afford to pay off all the debt now, this moment, but I still hold on to it for some reason.
Mm. Interesting.
Wow.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll go. I'm Ray. And I was thinking about money in my childhood and just like the one term that stood out is money doesn't grow on trees. And you know, both my parents worked a ton growing up. And so I think my vision of money was that you work hard for it, but money comes, money goes. So you're always working for it, but never really have it because as soon as you get it, it's gone. So there's always this like chase for it.
So let me ask you this. I know you and you love to work.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be the primary breadwinner in your household, correct?
Yeah, big time.
So the minute you start saving, do you think a part of you feels like you'll become irrelevant and that you won't need to work as hard, which is something you love to do?
Mm. Ooh. I don't know. I've never thought about this. That's horrible. Probably. I mean, maybe. I have no idea. I'd have to sit and really ruminate with that one. So, like, the idea would be if I'm, like, financially secure.
Yes.
If you have
time and savings.
If I were to make $1 million, get to that next level, then I could, what would I possibly do with my time then?
Yeah. Ooh. Correct.
Ooh, yeah.
So you almost make yourself, needing to work.
Uh-huh.
By making sure that you're living in that space of like just hitting it.
Literally am. I mean, for sure.
But maybe the next phase is to know that you actually can be financially secure and still have a great career.
Yeah. I mean, I have some in savings.
I'm just suggesting that could that possibly be something?
I think it could be something.
Sometimes when we're unpacking things, we don't even know what's in there. Like it's very hard to really see a full suitcase of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. I think Lisa's ready.
Well, thanks so much for having us here. For me, everything growing up revolved around money. It was all about what we could or we couldn't do. So everything, the deciding factor was if we had enough. And as my mom being an accountant and growing up, it never was enough. No matter how much was in the bank account, no matter the commas in the bank account, it just wasn't enough.
Mm.
And so I grew up thinking no matter how much I made, it just wasn't enough. And so I hoarded everything.
Mm.
And I was scared to spend. So instead of like Ray saying like she spent it, I have to hold on to it. I have to just keep making it, But I wasn't doing anything with it. I wasn't living life because I was like, well, it's not enough. So I can't go out and do the thing that I want to do. And so I let money control what I could or couldn't do. And I never made any type of financial risks. So with money, I had a very, very tainted relationship with it.
Mm.
I had a very hard time talking about money. And
it's a source of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a source of anxiety. Anytime I say money, if I say money, do you feel anxiety?
Yes. Because I think, growing up, like I said, that is the core. Like, everything revolves around money.
So we talk a lot about scarcity and abundant mindset. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a whole nother episode of the podcast. But for you, you grew up in a scarcity-minded money household. And you're trying to create a more abundant mindset household.
100%.
Yeah. And how do you think your kids see money? Because they have a lot of exposure to your mother.
Oh, how do my kids see money? It's a really good question. I'm not sure, because I think there's still a part of us that wants our children, you know, James and I, we want our children to know, like, this isn't the life we live. This isn't how we grew up. So we are extremely blessed and fortunate, and to be grateful, because we don't want them just to think that this is how life is either.
Yeah.
But when it comes to money, they're not experiencing the same things we do. Like, we did. When we would go somewhere as a child, it was get an ice water. We can't afford a Slurpee. We can't do this. Like, we barely were able to go to the circus. Now you want this, this, and this. Like, we can't. Whereas we do that for our kids. We want them to see that mm-hmm. it's possible. We want them to see that there's extras, and never think that things that they can or can't do revolves around money. We don't ever want them to think that that's what's going to be the deciding factor of where their destiny lies.
So do you think some of the ways that you unpacked what you grew up in, and you're moving forward in a very different way, do you think it's your children that got you to change your behavior? Or do you think it was you saying, I don't want to live the second half of my life like this?
I was done letting money control me. I was done letting money have power over me and letting me think I couldn't make decisions and make risks that could truly be dreams of mine that could become reality. And it was taking those financial risks that we're now living our dreams.
Yeah. And what do you think the connection between what you're saying, you know, the thing you had to unpack, the connection between that and your business now? Like, do you think anything's possible in terms of your earnings?
Yeah, absolutely. And I never thought, like, and I still sometimes to this day get triggered where I'll see a number and I'm like, well, I'm afraid to spend it. I'm like, oh, I got to put it all away. I got to put it all away. Like, what if I spend half of that? Then I only have half left. Like, so I have to continue to remind myself that anything is possible and truly know that it's okay to spend, because it also allows that space for more to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question completely, like, yes, I believe that any amount of money in this business, like, for me to make, is possible in this business. And I've never felt that before.
Hmm. Go ahead, Krista.
All right. So it's interesting listening to everyone's answers, and I'm like, oh, maybe I do have more to unpack than I thought I did. So I grew up...
Well, let's just pause there, because when I asked you to do this, you said, I don't have anything to unpack.
I know.
I have nothing to share or contribute. Everything's fine. Which is very much your personality.
Yes, yes.
You're like, I'm great. Everything's perfect.
So I grew up in a very comfortable household. We got what we wanted. We got what we needed. Actually, that's really interesting. We got what we needed and we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
Two different things. Mm-hmm. And my father, so my mother didn't work and my father did and was successful, and he always just, he would say, take the girls shopping. Like, he just was the kind of person who was, you can't bring your money with you when you die. And I still to this day, like, live that way. Like, I realize I have a relationship with money, but listening to these stories now, I'm like, oh, maybe it is a bad relationship, because it's an irresponsible relationship for the most part. Like, I really don't care about money. Like, I don't like it or not like it. It's just always there when I need it, but sometimes it's not.
Mm.
And we had to, you know, my husband lost his job for a while, and so that was sort of a hit on me, like, wait, we can't just do what we always want to do, but that's what I've been doing my entire life. I've always just been able to do what I want to do. So it's so funny, because I turned out marrying a incredibly financial conservative man, which, thank the Lord above, right, because I would be in so much debt.
Yeah.
because I just, and he, you know, he does the money stuff, and he, like, who was saying, you know, QuickBooks, personal QuickBooks, just to sit and look at it, is he begs me monthly, can we please just sit and look, and so you can see where the money goes. Mm. And I'm like, yes. And can we book that trip to the island?
You're like, I see it. And all right. So it, like,
so I don't think I've unpacked anything.
You haven't. That's a great response. You haven't unpacked anything because you haven't had to. Bob has taken care of you.
Correct.
Okay. Now we know someone very close to us who lost their husband recently.
Correct.
Unexpectedly. What would you have to unpack? How would you have to change almost immediately if Bob wasn't in the picture?
Just the vision of it. Like, I need to sit and really look and see what we have, how much we have. I mean, we have two kids going to college next year, so our bill will be around $80,000-$90,000 just in college.
Yeah.
For the year, for two kids.
After taxes.
After taxes, yeah. So,
that's a lot of trips to the island.
That's
that you
a lot
can't
of
take.
Island not taking trips, you know. And I have to go visit my daughter in Switzerland, and I have to do those things. So,
I love how you say that. I have to do that.
Yes. So, but I'm what I have also. Okay. So here's something I learned about myself. And I learned this actually when he lost his job. I'm like, okay, I'm a very smart person. I'm going to make some money.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not afraid to go do that. Like, I'm a hustler. I can absolutely, I am truly an entrepreneur, which I didn't know that I was. Never thought that. I have a master's degree in epidemiology. You guys know that. I didn't know I had a sales side to me or a business mind. You know, so, oh, we need more money. Okay, I'll start another business to bring in some more money. Like, but, and I don't know if that's just still hiding from the fact that maybe, or maybe, Krista, maybe you just stopped frivolously spending some money. But I'm not that frivolous. I'm not like a shoe person or anything.
I'm really thinking of this. All right, so Krista, we had at our Brighter Together chapter meeting, we had someone who spoke to us about financial personalities.
Yeah.
Did you take the test?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay. So this woman who is going to be a guest speaker on the podcast, I took the test. And you and I have the same financial personality. It's called a magician.
Okay.
That money just appears when you need it to, like, poof, like it's out of the hat.
That's right.
Right. So you're a magician, which is a great way to live if you have someone responsible by your side.
Which I do.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And
now, does that cause conflict in your relationship?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you feel like he's telling you no all the time?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. And do you resent when he does something he wants to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Like,
we're unpacking a lot here.
Fifth record player.
His fifth record player he's not allowed to get because you want to go to the islands.
Mm-hmm.
And this was your extra income. And why aren't you doing it, right? Okay. I love this. We're really getting
the rest of the podcast. Let me just get comfortable.
No, I think this is like very much a lot of people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And it would be interesting to see what would happen to your relationship if you became a little bit more conscious.
100%. That's his dream. That is his dream wife.
He's actually verbalized and asked you for
that. Oh, 100 every month.
And then what happens to that request?
La, 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 la.
Avoidance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You are who you are.
Yeah.
You're 50 years old.
Yeah.
This is who you married, Bob. Deal with it.
Yes.
Okay. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't need to unpack the rest of that, but okay. Thank you for sharing
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Sure. Karen. You were just sharing a story with us about your family and the impact. But if you could summarize sort of the impact that your family has had on you in one sentence, what would be the thing that would describe that impact?
I think there's some guilt to money. Like, I feel like I need to be really grateful for what I have. So I feel guilty if I want more. And so that's definitely a big issue.
for you, is it hard to create a vision that's much different from the one you live in because you feel like you're being spoiled?
Yes, yes. Like in my family, we, like if someone said you're spoiled, that like hurts so much. Like,
oh,
that's,
man, that's like the worst insult.
That's like if someone said you're spoiled, like that would just like a knife, right? So we bought, you know, a large house, more like our dream house. And I remember I had a friend come over and she came up the driveway and I was like, hey, and she looked at my garage, which was like an oversized 2-car garage. And the first thing she said, your garage is bigger than my whole entire house. And it really triggered me. I didn't even want her to come into my home. Mm-hmm. And I was downplaying everything. Like, I just couldn't get out of that space.
So if you had a vision board that had lots of things on it, vacations, an amazing retirement home, you know, cars, all of it.
I have that vision board every year. I have a check from my checkbook. I wrote $1 million on that check.
So you have a process, but if you actually engage in the process, you then have all of these amazing things, and then is Karen spoiled?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which would be like a knife, mm-hmm, if someone called me spoiled. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you said that, but that's what it is. I never would want anyone to think I'm privileged or spoiled or anything. Like I said, when one of my best friends came over to my house and said that to me, I wanted nothing.
Okay. So now we're on Kat. Yes. So it's funny, while I was listening to everybody, I thought my story was one thing coming into here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can recognize myself in each piece of everybody's story. And it did bring me back to more of my money relationship. Let's go back further, right? Actually, till present day, my dad was always the one who took care of finances in our house. So it's like I knew my dad made money, but I also knew that it wasn't available to us, you know? And it was one of those things where I probably felt some kind of way about that, you know? Like, I don't know why I'm crying already. But, you know, I felt some kind of way about that. But I think the hardest part, too, was... not the hardest part. One interesting part, I would say, was that my mom would always sneak us money. She was a hairstylist, so she would, like, get tips and stuff. And she would kind of just be like, here, you know, go grab yourself something. So I noticed, like, a very polar opposite way that they approached money. You know, one was very generous and one was more, like, savings and serious with their money.
Let me ask you something right now, because you're getting emotional. We can't see that on a podcast, but you're getting emotional. Did you think when we went into this that you would get emotional about your money story?
No. I already had my answer written down, which has nothing to do with this. That's the funny thing.
And you were like, oh, here's my answer.
Yes,
this is my
totally
assignment. I'm gonna
totally my empowered answer. You know, but a lot of this kind of opened up some things.
Are your tears for you or your mom?
I think they're for my mom.
For your mom.
Because to this day, it's still the same situation. And honestly, I think that when I started to get into adulthood and I started to get my own credit card for the first time, I wanted to live the exact opposite. I was like, when I got with my husband, we were dating still, not even married, and we opened a joint account, bank account. It was like the total opposite. It was like, nobody's going to control me, but at the same time, we're actually going to work together to make this like really fruitful. And if you were in trouble, I was going to help you out. And if I was in trouble and needed something, you were going to help me out. And since the very beginning of our dating years, it was just like this balance that I think stemmed from me not wanting to ever be in a position where somebody put a cap on what I could make. And that's the other thing. You know, I made myself believe that I didn't need money. I wasn't making money. I didn't realize there was a block there. And because I wasn't making money, me and my husband actually started to go back to money is the root of all evil. God is protecting us. This is why we're not making money. It's because we would be bad people if we started to make that money. We really truly started to believe that. It was like, it made sense. We're Christians. We're of faith. that context fit very well with why I wasn't making money. That's why I was saying earlier, like, I'm actually shocked that any of this other story came up, because I was like, wait a minute, hold on. It wasn't just a thing that started there. It started from all of the stuff beforehand, you know? So when I kind of released that, because of talking to you, Michelle, you said, look, I know the money doesn't matter to you, but I do know that you want to help, and you can help more when you do have money, when there is money flowing your way, when you just allow those blessings to come forward. And all of a sudden my eyes opened up to the fact that, you know, if we're the kind of people who are worrying about who we're going to be when we have money, maybe we're not the people who are going to like mess this up, you know, in a bad way or in a big way. But then I feel like total opposite of that, as my children are growing up, I went opposite and just provided everything my kids wanted to them at any time, including my husband, including us, because we struggled for so long. So it was like, I now finally broke this place where I allowed money to flow in, but then I wasn't responsible with it, because I'm just like, you need this, you need that. No, like, let's go on vacations. Let's do this. Everything I felt like I didn't have as a child, it's like I'm feeding that into my kids. And they're in a place now where they even literally will be like, I don't know how to manage money. Like, they are so honest with me. They're like, I really wish, like, you know, they want to get a job. So those early tears, yes, they're for my mom, but I'm also realizing it's a lot of things collapsed on each other that just kind of broke open wide as you guys were talking about your stories.
Yeah. So for, I think a lot of people, one of the things that they have to unpack is this idea that money is the root of all evil, right?
Oh gosh, yeah.
You will hear more from this conversation in upcoming episodes, because my hope is that hearing these conversations helps you explore your financial mindset room and the elements that are in there. Perhaps you identify with Mary Kay, who keeps herself in a place of debt because it's comforting. Or you see your room looking a bit more like Lisa, who is still unpacking the scarcity belief that there is never enough money to do what she wants. Maybe you're like Krista and just avoid the money topic altogether and let your spouse take care of the finances. Or you see elements of your room similar to Karen, who walks the fine line between enjoying her money while not getting judged for that enjoyment. Or possibly, like Kat, you need to unpack the notion that money is a power struggle in a relationship. Before our next episode, spend some time walking around your financial mindset room. Become conscious of the elements that elevate your confidence and future, and those that hold you back. Don't just hide those elements, clear them out. When your mindset displays the most empowering money ideas, you will expand what you believe is possible and have the confidence to turn those possibilities into a reality. Next episode, I'll share a bit about my money story, the most important belief I had to clear out, and how this influenced the way my kids feel about money. Special thanks to everyone who brought this first episode to fruition, including the Lime Life ambassadors who shared their financial mindset, my producer, John Rebecki, who sparked the idea of Unpacking Eve with his own podcast called In Reality, Lessons from Leaders and Entrepreneurs. Thank you also to his son, John Rebecki, for his work in producing and mixing. And thank you to Will Hartzell for composing our theme music. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Michelle M. Gay, Facebook at Michelle Malardi-Gay, and LinkedIn. Again, thanks for listening, and keep unpacking, Eve.